we present the BBC Drama Repertory Company in The U-Boat That Lost Its Nerve, a play for radio by James Follett, with Nigel Lambert as Bernard Bent. The U-Boat That Lost Its Nerve.
U-Boat First Officer, Lieutenant Bernard Barrett, you will please stand. This Council of Honor has been convened under powers delegated to us by the Naval High Command with the approval of the Führer. We have been instructed to hear all evidence and to recommend sentence should it be found guilty. Have you appointed an officer to conduct your defense?
Yes, sir. Major Schulke.
Have you agreed to this, Major Schulke?
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Bent, the charge against you is that you displayed cowardice in the face of the enemy. And as a consequence of your treacherous behavior, the submarine U-570, entrusted to you by our Führer and the German people, was allowed to pass intact into the enemy's hands. How do you plead? How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
The accused wishes to enter
the... I want to hear him say it.
Not guilty.
Should the charges against you be proved, this council will have no alternative but to recommend that you be sentenced to death by hanging. I say this because I want everyone here to realize that our present circumstances in no way detract from the authority of this council or the seriousness of the crimes for which you stand accused. Captain Lehman, will you please proceed?
Thank you, Mr. President. On the 27th of August, 1941, the submarine U-570, under the command of the accused...
Mr. President, it has not been established that Lieutenant Bent was in command of the U-boat at the time of her surrender.
He was in command at the time of its capture. It amounts to the same thing. Please continue, Captain Lehman.
On the 27th of August, 1941, U-570 was some 200 kilometers south of Iceland and proceeding on the surface to a rendezvous in the North Atlantic where she was to join other boats in her flotilla in night actions against enemy convoys. You will hear how she failed to maintain a proper lookout, but at this point we should consider the attitude of the accused to his responsibilities and to the war in general. Now, this list details certain unauthorized stores which the accused had placed aboard 570 before she sailed. 40 kilos of Dutch Edam cheese, 20 kilos of camembert, several hundred kilos of ham, 100 kilos of Normandy butter, Riesling, brandy, whiskey, sherry, and an unspecified quantity of beer. Lieutenant Bernard Bent saw no reason to change his way of life merely because of his responsibilities as an officer. The war for him was going to be one glorious non-stop party.
Gentlemen, I give a toast to U-570. May this patrol be the most successful of any U-boat. Bent has made a stencil of a sinking ship.
Oh, yes.
As we have 15 torpedoes, let's hope we sail into Lorient with 15 sinking ships painted on our brig.
Here we are, sir.
Show them, Bent.
There.
Only one thing wrong.
What's that, Chief?
Well, that stencil looks like a 2,000-tonner. If we want to beat Kretschmer's best patrol, every ship we sink will have to be at least 4,000 tonners.
It's only meant to be a symbol.
Make a bigger one, Bert. We must be precise.
This one took me 2 hours.
Maybe for every 4,000-tonner we sink, we could put up two of Lieutenant Bent's 2,000-tonners.
Well, that wouldn't be honest.
The trouble with you, Bent, is that you take everything too seriously.
Someone has to.
I aim to sink 100,000 tons, Bent. Is that serious enough for you?
If you say so, sir.
I say we have another drink. Yeah. Back to business. This is superb brandy, you strange, Bent. We'll drink to you. To Lieutenant Bent. May he have the strength to bear the Knight's Cross Admiral Dönitz will be hanging around his neck.
Lieutenant Bent.
Hey, where's our torpedo officer? I specifically asked him to be present.
Well, Lieutenant Stein is examining the torpedo, sir. He's been at it since we left port.
Oh, has he? Doesn't he know that messing about with the torpedoes is forbidden? Pass the word for him.
Yes, sir.
Who do we drink to now?
The Fuhrer.
Guys. The Fuhrer. What's the matter, Bent?
I'm sorry, but I've already had rather a lot to drink.
Give him some coffee, someone. There you are, Stein, you wretched fella. I hear you've been messing about with our torpedoes. If you can make them go off with a bigger bang, I won't enter it into the log. Can I have a word with you, please, sir? Have as many as you like, but first a drink.
Now, I must speak to you first, please, sir, in private.
Oh, weren't you warned about those French girls? Yeah. Torpedoing enemy personnel should only be done at sea. I won't be any use to you. You need the sick berth attendant. You're getting as bad as Bent. No sense of humor. Oh, all right. We'll go up on the bridge and relieve the cuts. Excuse us, gentlemen. Nothing like the sea for clearing one's head. Now, what's all this about?
I've been looking at the torpedoes.
You've dismantled them?
Yep, and I've also dismantled the depth control chambers.
You know that's forbidden. How can we sink ships if you've taken the torpedoes to bits?
We won't be sinking any ships, not with those torpedoes.
Of course we won't if you've taken the things apart.
I'll reassemble them, and in any case, I've only looked at eight.
Why look at them in the first place? What do you mean about us not sinking ships? Of course we'll sink ships. This first patrol of U-570 is going to make naval history.
Not after this patrol. All our torpedoes are useless.
Don't be absurd.
They're all G-7As. There was a whole batch of them which have been sorted out for sending back to the torpedo research establishment to Kiel. They've been kicking around some time waiting for shipment, and somehow or other, we've ended up with them.
You're responsible for striking down torpedoes. You should have supervised their loading.
There's no good blaming me. I was only transferred to this boat at the last minute. Yesterday was the first chance I've had to examine.
What do you know about torpedoes? All you have to do is load and fire them.
Now come below and look at them if you don't believe me.
You'll have to repair them.
They need new firing pistols.
I don't want your excuses, Stein. You fix those torpedoes.
They have to go back to Kiel.
And we might as well return to base.
We can't go back.
Not without. My family have moved to Lorient. I've promised them so much.
Well, you'll never achieve great successes in this boat.
You will go below and repair those torpedoes. After that, you can consider yourself under arrest.
Then why can't you face up to reality? Those torpedoes are useless.
Might as well radio base and request permission to return.
I'll be damned if I'm going to let a miserable, jumped-up, working-class tyke with a chip on his shoulder dictate to me.
Aircraft! It went into that cloud!
This far out, it must be a Thunderwolf 200.
Diving stations, aircraft!
How dare you give orders? You're under arrest. Ben, cancel that order. It's an FW-200.
Oh, for God's sake, dive, Bert! It's two engines!
What the hell am I supposed to do?
It's coming in for a bomb run. Get down, get down!
No! They'll kill us. Stop engines.
But we must die.
Bent, what damage?
Matt, we still got control. I'm sending up a gun.
No, Bent, no. Okay, help me up with my jacket. Come on, hurry.
You're mad.
Stop it before it turns back. Please. Now my shirt.
I'm coming up.
Stay there, Bent. That's it. Help me hold it out so they can see it.
No, you're not going to... You can't. Stop it.
Thank God. Thank God.
You bastard. You traitorous bastard.
What's happening? I thought there was...
Ramlow surrendered.
I had to. I have to think of my crew.
Gun crew standing by, sir.
Tell them to stand down.
You're not taking orders from him.
Get below, Stein. Bent.
Sir, you have the seat up so they can see it. That's it. They'll destroy us. I think they got your message, sir.
I ordered you below.
Thank you, sir. I have no wish to be involved.
Mary Hudson, Coastal Command.
They nearly killed us. The bomb came within 10 meters.
What do we do now?
It's up to them, isn't it?
May I use your glasses, sir?
Yeah.
It must be a reconnaissance aircraft. It's a big brownie.
And bombs.
Was it a bomb or a depth charge?
I don't know. What does it matter?
I don't think the RAF have an airborne depth charge yet. They're signaling. It's in English. F.U. Surrender.
Tell them yes.
Have you considered that? It might still have a chance of shooting it down, sir. Our anti-aircraft
guns... They could be on top of us with another bomb before we could bring the guns to bear. What are you saying now?
Aircraft, two, U-boat, remain on surface or we will bomb you. Do you understand?
Tell them we do, Bent.
Control room, Brit. I'm ordering the destruction of all charts, code books, identification books, and the logs.
Stein, they may not like it.
They'll be ejected through a tube.
But if they see the caps are open...
We're flooding the forward tanks to put the bombs down, Slugger. They won't see anything.
Bent, go below and place Stein under arrest.
He's right about getting rid of the boat's
go
papers,
go below
sir.
And arrest him. If anything goes wrong, the whole crew will be lost.
I'm resisting arrest, Bent. And there's nothing you can do about it. The entire company's with me. Also, as first officer, it's your duty to arrest Ramlo and countermand the surrender.
I can't do that.
You'd have the full support of the crew.
Yes, but it would amount to, well, mutiny.
So?
But I don't have the authority.
You do, if he's no longer fit to command.
Why isn't he? He's only thinking of the crew. There's an aircraft circling, threatening to drop another bomb.
Another bomb? Were you in the Narvik campaign?
No.
I was. Shall I tell you the armament of that Hudson? One anti-submarine bomb. One. And even that's useless unless it's for the direct hit, as we've just seen.
No, that was over a year ago. The RAF may have improved the armament since then. But Ramlo may know more than us.
He doesn't.
But you don't know. You're only going on your experiences of over a year ago.
Even if it has got another bomb, we could still shoot it down before it has a chance to drop it.
But how?
Haven't you got any imagination? We could string up some washing or something and load a belt into the 20 centimeter while the Hudson is unsighted. We could even crowd men around the gun. We could load it, bring it to bear, and open fire before the Hudson realized that anything was wrong.
If I was in that aircraft, I'd be watching us like hawks. The first sign of anything suspicious.
No, you're worse than Ram, though.
I don't suppose it's occurred to you that he might be acting in the interest of us all.
Our interests are irrelevant. All that matters is that this U-boat must not be cravenly handed over to the enemy without a shot being fired.
I shouldn't have thought you'd be worried about honor.
I'm not talking about honor. I'm talking about the cowardly behavior of this submarine in allowing itself to fall into enemy hands who could then use it against our fellow sailors. And if you can't see the difference between that and your blasted sacred honor, then you're as bad as Ramlo. Chief?
Yes, sir?
Everyone signed?
Everyone, sir, without exception. Here.
Thanks. Here's my Luger, Ben. Take it. Take it. That's it. It's loaded. Now, Chief, read that paper.
We, the undersigned crew members of U-570, deplore the action of Lieutenant Commander Ramlo in surrendering our U-boat. And we fully support Lieutenant Bernard Bent in doing whatever is necessary to relieve Lieutenant Commander Ramlo of command. We also swear to obey Lieutenant Bent and pledge him our complete loyalty. And it's followed by the signatures of every member of the company.
Thank you. You have a choice, Bert. You can either go up on the bridge, arrest Ramlo, and take over command, or you can side with Ramlo by placing me under arrest. But if you do, I shall see to it that after the war, you and Ramlo hang. Bent.
Sir?
Have you arrested Stein? Well?
No, sir.
Suppose he talked you out of it. Eh? Odd sort of fella. Got a chip on his shoulder about his background. A bit of the red in his makeup.
I don't know, sir.
I'm going to break one of the first rules in dueling. Real dueling, I mean. Not all this modern stuff with face masks.
What's that, sir?
Never turn your back on an armed man. Wonder how much longer his fuel will hold out. Can't be much left. 200 kilometers south of Iceland, you'll need some to get back. Do you agree with Stein? Do you think I'm a coward?
I don't know.
I always thought cowardice was something so definite, like murder, that there would be no doubt in my mind when I was actually committing it. And yet when I waved my shirt at that Hudson, it never occurred to me that it was a cowardly act. Wherever we're in harbour, and the crew are lined up on deck, it always frightens me to see how many men's lives depend on me. The horrible thing is, I don't know if I surrender to save my own skin or the lives of the crew. I suppose if I said I wanted to save their lives, it would sound very grand and noble. But the truth is, I don't know. What would you have done? No, don't answer. You don't know. Nobody knows how they will react to a given situation, but it's always possible to guess how others might behave. People like Stein are predictable. They're the ones who die and get covered in glory. There are a lot of Steins in Germany. They never die alone and always take a lot of poor bastards with them as insurance, so they'll be remembered. What are you going to do?
I don't know.
That's all you've been able to say, I don't know. It's about time you started making a few decisions for yourself instead of letting other people push you around all the time.
I was sent up to arrest you, sir.
You were sent up here to do your duty according to what you think is right. Stein is not your senior officer. If you think I should be arrested, go ahead, but don't try to cover up your conscience by pretending that you're acting out of duty instilled into you by Stein. I don't even care if you shoot me, but I do care if you shoot me out of a sense of fear. I'd rather die as a victim of your principles than Stein's.
Sir, I don't understand.
I'll do it myself. Give me the gun. I'll shoot myself so you can say you did it. They'll listen to you then. Here, give it to me.
No.
Come. No. Set up your fool, sir. You bloody fool. You could have been killed.
The destroyers are right. Look, look.
Don't speak to me with the voice, Captain.
Yes?
You killed him?
Say yes. Yes.
Good. I'm coming up.
Stay where you are, Stein.
My dear Bernd, I have a gun crew ready for action.
You can come up when I give the order and not before.
Good for you, Bernd.
Light signals from the destroyer, sir. In English. Stand by to receive armed boarding party.
They'll be lucky in this weather. There goes the Hudson. Wonder how they feel having to hand their prize over to the Navy.
Sir, now the aircraft is gone. If we were to set up torpedo to run at the shallowest setting, maybe
we'd never sink a destroyer, Bernd. Not with their shallow draft. You should know that.
Well, it would be worth a try, sir.
Well, what are we going to do now?
Wait for the boarding party, I suppose.
They won't try that in this sea.
Would take us in tow?
Not with us on board. Here, what are they saying now?
Do you have a dinghy? Captain, to join me immediately. Allow no one else on bridge. Do you understand?
Why should they risk their necks with a boarding party when they can get me to risk mine? Signal message understood.
Why won't they allow anyone else on the bridge?
So you won't be tempted to scuttle.
You want help with the dinghy, sir?
No, I'll manage.
Bernd, I saw the Hudson leave on the sky periscope. I insist you allow me on the bridge.
What can you see on the attack periscope?
It's jammed.
Now we have company. A destroyer and an armed trawler. Our orders are no one else on the bridge.
We have to allow everyone up if we're to scuttle.
We are not scuttling, Stein, and that's an order.
We are not handing this boat over to the enemy.
Chief?
Sir?
Will you ask Lieutenant Stein to stay away from the voice pipe?
Sir?
Are you managing, sir?
Blasted thing. The wind keeps catching it. Here, you'd better have this back. Stein's gun, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm ready now.
Look, I'm sorry, sir.
Just be sorry there's a war and thankful you're now out. Will you scuttle?
I don't see how I can.
No. Well, goodbye, Bent. Look after the crew.
Goodbye, sir. And good luck.
See you in prison.
Oh, God.
Shulker, Conrad Shulker, Major, Army Reconnaissance. U-boat?
Yes.
Oh, never catch me going down in one of those things. Death traps. I'm sorry, just trying to make conversation. You can tell me to shut up if you wish.
No, I'm sorry. Lieutenant Bernard Bernd.
What happened to you? Oh, it's all right. These gunvillas don't speak German.
Oh, we were bombed by an aircraft.
Bad luck. Any casualties?
Every member of the crew was safe.
How long were you interrogated for?
2 days.
Oh, I had a week.
In London?
Yes, Kensington Palace Gardens. I used to work in London in the 20s. Didn't tell them, of course, and they soon found out. I didn't even tell them I could speak English. I gave myself away when this officer walked in and said, "We've decided to shoot you, Major." And he laughed at my expression.
Where are they taking us?
Euston Station? Well, it must be somewhere in the north. Euston's being moved at night.
Why?
Plenty of useful information to be picked up just by looking out of the window. The state the crops are in, how many people working on the land. It's all very useful when you're trying to build up an overall picture. Still, of course, you have to escape first.
Well, is it worth the risk of the war supposed to last only a few more months?
It's always worth the risk. It's your duty to do so.
Major Shulker, wake up. It's daylight.
Oh, I'm stiff. Still on the move. Taking us further north than I thought. The train keep going all through the night?
Apart from two stations.
How long did we stop for?
About 50 minutes at the first one and 10 minutes at the other.
What was it called?
Bovril, I think. What's so funny?
You'll learn that. You'll learn.
Beautiful countryside. Keep crossing rivers and streams. Do you suppose we're in Scotland?
That's now 8 hours. Average speed, what, about 70 kilometres an hour? No, not in Scotland. I'd say we're in Cumberland, somewhere near the Lake District. Ah, now that's either another station coming up or Journey's End. Journey's End. Let's hope they feed us soon. I'm starving.
Welcome to Grisdale Hall, gentlemen. Right in the heart of the British Lake District, I'm afraid the British won't allow us to go sailing. My name is Lieutenant Commander Otto Kruger. My job is to make you feel at home. I'm the senior officer.
Commander. Great honor to meet you, sir.
It's good to have another U-boat officer. Or perhaps I should say not good. I was beginning to think this camp was being taken over by the Luftwaffe. How is the Admiral?
I'm afraid I've never met him.
And you're Major Conrad Shulker.
Yes, sir. Number one reconnaissance unit, Bremen.
I hope you didn't tell the British that.
No, sir. They told me.
I take it the British CO has already interviewed you.
Yes, sir.
You will find Major Beach firm, but fair. All matters for his attention are channeled through this office. He and I have an understanding, and most difficulties can usually be smoothed out between us.
Is there an escape organization?
I was coming to that. As you must have seen from the truck which brought you from the station, the surrounding countryside is wild and desolate. It looks very beautiful now, but in the winter it is deadly. That is why we have an escape committee under my chairmanship, which carefully vets all escape proposals. We don't wish to deter initiative or daring. Our job is to prevent officers getting themselves killed because of some harebrained scheme that has no hope in hell of succeeding.
Has anyone ever escaped?
Several times, but no one has ever got home. The first to try was Baron von Vera.
The fighter pilot?
Yes. He remained free for several days, but only because he knew the district from camping trips before the war and could speak English without a trace of accent.
This place looks as if it was once a country mansion.
It was. But you won't find any suits of armor now. What you will find is plenty of barbed wire around the grounds and watchtowers. Now, that's all for now. I'll expect it will take you a couple of days to find your feet and get used to the routine. If you report to Paul Falk, third door on the left down the corridor, he'll arrange for you to have a medical and tell you what dormitory you're in.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Lieutenant Ben.
Sir?
I'd like a word with you before you go. Third door on the left, Shulker.
Thanks, sir.
Take a seat.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Bernard Bernd, First Officer U-570. Bombed by RAF Coastal Command, 27th of August, 90 miles south of Iceland. No casualties. The British don't tell us more than they can help. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
No casualties?
Yes.
You were extremely lucky. What became of your commanding officer? Ramlo, wasn't it?
He was taken on board a different ship. I don't know what happened to him.
I knew him slightly at Lorient. Is he a party member?
I don't know.
Well, he won't come here if he is. This is what the British call a white camp for non-national socialists. The borderline cases go to the grey camps, and the dedicated ones are sent to the black camps. That's why none of our guards are Poles. They're all the black camps knocking hell out of the inmates. They're not supposed to know that.
I see. I read about your capture in the papers. They said you were sunk by overwhelming forces after you'd fired all your torpedoes.
Propaganda. I was rammed at night by a destroyer. I've been here since March, 5 months.
The loss of your boat was a sad blow.
Do you know the latest tonnage sunk figures?
Well, May and June was around 600,000 tons. July was very low, only 100,000 tons.
What about your boat? Well?
Nothing.
Nothing?
It was our first patrol.
We'll never win the war at this rate.
The papers were saying that the British wouldn't be able to hold out for more than 6 or 7 months at the most.
Maybe. Here's your form. You'd better report to Lieutenant Prout.
There is one thing, sir.
Yes?
Is there a Lieutenant Richard Stein here?
Stein. Richard. Several Steins, but no Richard. Friend of yours?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Well, that's all I've been able to pick up from the guards.
With luck, they might come with us. Otto, over here.
Good evening, you two.
Good evening. Do you suppose the British are celebrating something?
Mm. This stew actually looks and smells edible. At least 3 extra grams of meat. We've decided that your U-boat comrades aren't sinking so many ships these days.
According to Bernd, one of the new arrivals, they're not.
Did you give them a medical?
Well, Schulke's okay.
Ben seems to be suffering from depression. Mm. He's also got a weak heart. Mm. You know, it beats me why you let these cripples into the Navy.
In the look, which this place is crawling with,
they have to be A1.
Mm. Anything but a nice bulletin?
Well, it looks as if we'll have to reopen the escape program.
Aren't we going to Canada?
It's still only a rumor. But if we are being sent there, it doesn't look as if we'll be able to rely on American neutrality for much longer. An American destroyer has deliberately attacked a U-boat.
One incident doesn't necessarily lead to war.
It did in 1914.
Mm. Oh, God, if only we could get hold of some British newspapers. When will the Parsons come back from leave?
Saturday.
Was there any mention of U-570?
No.
So what do we do? Do we reopen the escape program, or do we continue squashing every scheme for free?
I think we'd better carry on vetoing all plans for the time being and review the situation when we've had a chance to look at the papers.
Shulke. Shulke.
Hmm? What's the matter?
I can't sleep.
What? Well, I can if I'm left alone. 4 hours.
Conrad. May I call you Conrad?
You wake me up just to ask me that.
Do you suppose the others will find out about how you were shot down?
What are you talking about? What others?
Kruger, Falk, the whole camp.
I don't understand. I've told them everything.
No, I mean the exact details. Your position, the time, that sort of thing. Do you think they could ever find out?
Well, I suppose so. Does it matter? Is something wrong? Ernest?
Yes?
Do you want to tell me?
No, it's all right. Sorry I woke you. Good night.
Good night.
Come in. Ah, good morning, Paul.
Papers. Ah, excellent. Express time sketch the lot. Even John Bullen fixed a post. Poor bastard's terrified about that copper wire.
Don't put any more pressure on him for a bit. He's the sort to suddenly decide the confession might be good for his soul.
Anything about that Greer business?
Last night, in a broadcast to the American people, President Roosevelt, referring to U.S. attacks on German U-boats, said, "When you see a rattlesnake poised, you don't wait until it strikes before you crush it."
Ah, the man's a warmonger of the worst type. Listen to this. Squadron leader J.H. Thompson of 269 Squadron, the pilot of the Hudson which captured U-570, said the white surrender flag waved from the conning tower was the biggest surprise of his life.
What? An Admiralty spokesman refused to comment on U-570's future, but said the capture of an intact
what?
U-boat was of major importance, and the possibility of it being commissioned as one of His Majesty's submarines could not be ruled out. Get him in here.
What was the exact damage caused by the bomb?
I don't know.
How close did it fall?
I wasn't on the bridge.
You don't have to be on the bridge to know how close the bomb was.
I'm sorry, I don't know. It wasn't me who surrendered. It was Lieutenant Commander Ramlow.
Where were you when it fell?
In the control room. Look, I didn't surrender.
Did you make any water after the explosion?
I don't know.
Why didn't you die?
Well, the hydroplane wheels were jammed.
All of them?
No, just one.
Which one? Come on.
Look, I don't know. The stern, I think.
If the bomb exploded forward, how come the stern wheel was jammed?
I'm not sure where it exploded.
First you say forward, now you're not certain.
I wasn't certain at the time.
Can you read English?
A little.
Read that. Go on. Read it.
An Admiralty spokesman refused to comment on U-570's future, but said the capture of an...
Intact. An intact U-boat. Do you know what the word means?
Yes.
The telegraph, the Times, the Mirror, they all refer to an intact U-boat. And it's probably in every American newspaper. You sniveling little coward. You know what you've done? You've made the German U-boat on the laughing stock of the entire world.
It was damaged. There was nothing I could do. We were helpless. Well, I wanted to scuttle. I pleaded with the captain to scuttle. But it wasn't my fault. I said we must destroy the boat, but he refused. It was damaged. I know it was damaged.
He could be right, Otto. I wouldn't put it past the British to issue a false statement deliberately. It's up to you. I'd rather take the word of a German officer than the British press.
It was damaged. I know it was damaged.
We'll take the word of this. Bernd.
Sir.
Pull yourself together.
Yes, sir.
We're giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you, sir.
We'll tell the camp that the British salvaged your boat. I dare say that'll be nearer the truth than these papers.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
We'll say no more about it. All right, you may go. Just one thing. If these newspaper reports do turn out to be telling the truth, you will most likely be hanged for cowardice.
Missing it all.
You know, Bernd fits my theory about people who have mastered a social musical instrument.
What the hell is a social musical instrument?
Harmonica, concertinas, flutes, anything portable like that. Have you heard my theory?
No, but I have a feeling I'm going to. Is it anything like that theory you advanced 3 months ago, which explained why the war couldn't last another 2 months?
Bernd interests me. He's had a lonely childhood, comes from a well-off family, and was sent to a boarding school from the age of 7. Consequently, he's been starved of affection. He's emotionally insecure, finds it difficult to make friends, and yet he needs friendship. That's why he's mastered the harmonica. It ensures he's always in demand for parties and so forth. That way, his introvert personality is no barrier to his popularity.
Is he married?
Yes, it was arranged by his parents.
Have you been talking to him?
Fulke has. The army major arrived with him. Apparently, he's worried about Bernd, says he's been sleeping badly. Having nightmares.
Maybe you should have a look at him.
After what Schulke said, I did. On the pretext it was a routine check after 4 weeks in prison. He's lost weight.
So have we all.
Not as much as him. He was 77 kilos when he came. Now he's down to 61. That's a lot to lose in 4 weeks.
Well, whatever his problems are, he's a useful addition to the camp.
That's what's so odd about him. He enjoys being popular, and yet...
People are too complex to fit your simple theories. Ah, here's Paul.
Ah.
Come on, you're late. We've got a new arrival.
Huh?
Oh, the British do choose some times to wheel them in. Who is it? Not another Luftwaffe type. I don't think I could stand anymore.
Hey, one of your lot, U-boats.
Oh.
Made himself unpopular at his last camp and nearly got himself lynched.
Mm-hmm.
Stein. Lieutenant Richard Stein.
Right, Paul, let's have him in. There?
Hello, Bernd. I'm surprised you're not in British uniform.
I didn't
expect to see me so soon, of course not. Well, I didn't expect to see you so soon either. I've been busy making a nuisance of myself at every camp so they'd keep transferring me. Third time lucky.
You'd better shut the door, Paul. Lieutenant Stein has made some serious allegations, Ben, regarding your part in the loss of U-570.
She wasn't lost. She was handed over by this traitorous coward.
Oh, we're not interested in personal comments at the moment. We just want to find out if what you say is true.
Oh, it's true, all right. Look at him. He's terrified.
I was not U-570's commanding officer, and therefore not responsible for her surrender.
According to Lieutenant Stein, you were a party to it.
I wasn't even on the bridge when the Hudson dropped its bomb. But Stein was.
Is that true?
I left the bridge because I wanted to have nothing to do with the surrender. I went below and circulated a petition in which every member of the crew pledged support for Bernd if he were to arrest Ramlo and countermand the surrender.
It was a license for mutiny.
It was a license to prevent a U-boat falling into enemy hands. It was our opinion that Ramlo was no longer fit to command.
Our opinion?
My opinion. It's quite clearly stated in battle orders that if a commander...
Yes, I know what's in the battle orders. After you shot Ramlo, did you...
I never shot Ramlo.
He's lying.
He paddled across to the destroyer in the inflatable dinghy. Well, you know that. I told you at the time.
So Ramlo left you in command?
No, sir. No, Ramlo transferred command to the captain of the destroyer, and I carried out the orders the destroyer signaled to me.
He's twisting the facts to save his own miserable skin. Bernd was a senior officer. When Ramlo was shot, he would automatically...
Ramlo was not shot.
All right. Bernd, after Ramlo left the U-boat, did Lieutenant Stein request permission to scuttle the boat?
Yes, but it was not up to me to grant such permission.
You refused?
Yes.
Because you no longer had the authority?
Yes.
If you felt that you do not have the authority to allow Stein to scuttle the boat, how is it you felt you had the authority to order him not to?
Well, I don't know. But it wasn't me that surrendered. It wasn't me.
All right, you two. You may go.
Thank you, sir.
This time is telling the truth.
And the British newspapers.
Mm.
It puts me in a difficult position. From what I've seen of Stein, the story will be all over the camp in a matter of hours. If I do nothing, the Luftwaffe and army types will accuse me of favoritism to a fellow U-boat officer.
Yeah.
They might even take the law into their own hands.
Requests Bernd's transfer to another camp.
Then they'd say I was trying to protect him from justice. Besides, what do you suppose would happen to him if he ended up at a grey or black camp? And the prisoners learned about his part in U-570's surrender.
I don't see that they would. Bernd's hardly likely to tell them.
A U-boat has a crew of 48. After screening, they'd be sufficiently scattered for there to be a good chance of one or two being in any camp that Bernd was sent to.
Suppose we get rid of him when they do find out. It won't be our problem, will it?
If you realize what would happen to him.
I've got a pretty good idea. It would be no more than he deserves.
He deserves a fair trial. If we were to get rid of Bernd, he'd be shirking our responsibilities, just as Bernd did on the U-boat. More so, in fact. At least Bernd was probably trying to save lives.
His own skin, more like.
Possibly. But as long as I'm senior officer here, it's up to me to see that civilized standards are maintained. Under these conditions, it's all too easy for men to forget them.
Do you think that won't happen? You saw how bitter Stein is. He'll be shooting his mouth off to everyone and urging them on to deal with Bernd in their own way. If he were to team up with people like Schumann and Kirk and a few of the others...
I know that. We'll have to forestall them until I think of something.
How? Why not ask Beach to put Bernd in solitary?
Well, what reason do we get?
Tell him Bernd's in danger.
And admit I can't control the man under me. Anyway, you know what a highly developed sense of justice Beach has. It's one of the more worthwhile British traits. I believe the British may have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
An old custom of theirs. It's rather nasty, but it might suit our purpose.
What's that then?
Tell Kurt that before he reads the after-dinner news bulletin, I wish to make a statement to the entire camp.
Gentlemen, before Kurt reads the evening news, I have a brief statement to make. Bernd, will you stand up, please? As you know, Lieutenant Bernd is here because his submarine was captured by the RAF after it had been bombed. We have just learned that the newspaper reports about the capture, which we disregarded at the time, are in fact true. In view of this, it has been decided that from now until further notice, no prisoner will speak to, communicate, or attempt to communicate with Lieutenant Bernd in any way whatsoever. A serious view will be taken if anyone breaks this rule. The British have an expression for Bernd's punishment. He is being sent to Coventry.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Order. Bent seems to have disappeared.
Really?
I saw him at roll call. Well, he turns up for morning and evening roll call and lights out, but vanishes for the rest of the day.
I never did pretend it was anything but an interim solution. The idea was for us to act before anyone else did.
Yes, it seems he sent us to Coventry. We'll have to think of something else.
I already have. I want to send a message to U-Boat Command. Can you arrange it?
But I thought you U-Boat types already had a system.
It may have been revealed by Ramlo by now. He handed over a U-boat, so I don't suppose he had any qualms about our letter code.
Who's it to be sent to?
Dieter Frank. He's a staff officer, cipher expert.
Mm-hmm.
That's his private address, and that's the message.
Dear Dieter, British press reports about U-570 are correct. First officer? No. You're not serious.
I'm perfectly serious. But don't you think it's better than what we're doing now?
It violates the Geneva Convention. We can't...
We can if we call it something else. Think you can bury that message in a letter?
I think so. I'll try a date code. It may work. It won't have to be anything elaborate to slip past Jenkins. A date code will do.
I want it to go today.
Right. I'll get to work on a draft letter for you to copy out.
Someone tell that worm to shut up. I'm going to get some sleep.
You say one more word, Stein, and I'll smash your oily face down your throat.
Ooh, brave words, Major. Not the sort that Berth would understand.
Just leave him alone. You've done enough damage.
That is a matter of opinion, Major.
Stop, Layman, before we kill him.
Look, I'm as worried as you, Major, but what can I do? Kruger won't take any notice of me.
Well, you could at least examine Bernd.
If he is ill, I'd have to say it's because he refuses to eat, not because he's being sent to Coventry.
If you do nothing, I'll place the matter in the hands of the British by reporting the whole affair to Major Veitch.
Where is he?
In the attic above the laundry. He spends every day alone there, reading and playing the harmonica.
I'll tell you what I'll do. Give Bernd another 2 days. If he hasn't come down and had some food by Sunday, then I'll examine him. If his condition is serious, I'll urge Kruger to call off this Coventry business.
Hello? Is someone there? Who's that? Oh, hello. I didn't know it was... What do you want? No, no, please, no. No! 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 Stop! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! No! No!
I want you to come and look at Bernd now.
We agreed this morning that I wait until...
Evening roll calls in 5 minutes. Now, he's usually down 10 minutes before it starts so that he can have his name cleared by the guards and disappear before the others arrive.
Well, maybe he's decided to...
I want you to come now, please.
Very well.
Bernard! Roll call in 3 minutes. Bernard!
Bernard! Good God!
Help me turn him over.
What's the matter with... Look at his face.
No, please, no more.
It's all right, Bernard.
No more.
It's all right, old man. Who did it?
Bernd,
Can you hear me?
Don't hit me anymore.
Listen, Bernd, it's only a few minutes to roll call. We've got to get you down to the laundry to clean you up.
What the hell does it matter about roll call? I'm going to tell Veach.
No. No, no, we'll keep the British out of this. If you want to help Bernd, you'll keep quiet.
I haven't kept quiet before. This wouldn't have happened.
Help me up with him. That's it. We'll have to hold him between us during roll call.
Dear Otto, your recent letter was eagerly read by everyone. Jan has at long last proposed to Alice. Our youngest has seen a great deal of action in our new swimming pool this summer. She has even learned to swim underwater. Paul can't swim yet, but enjoys playing with a toy boat we managed to buy, only 570 marks. You think there's one of our people I've never heard of. Here, you better decode it.
It's so simply hardly deserves to be called a code. First word is your, 456, propose, 789, action. Well, the other word's obvious, underwater boat, 570. Mm-hmm. The last sentence doesn't seem to fit. Your old friend in UB-68 sends his regards.
UB-68 was the Admiral's boat when he was a commander during the last war.
The complete message reads, Dear Otto, your proposed action of U-570 is approved.
You will hear all the evidence while it is still fresh in everyone's mind and recommend suitable sentence to be carried out after war. Preserve transcript if possible. Admiral Dönitz.
May I see it, please?
That's the original letter, and that's the transcribed message. The date and time on the letter indicate...
Yes, I know how the date code works. Thank you. Well, I presume there'll also be an inquiry to find out who assaulted Bernd.
That was a most unfortunate incident which we all deplore.
With respect, Lieutenant Commander, that was not the answer to my question.
If Bernd cares to reveal who it was, then we shall see that whoever it was is punished.
You know damn well he's too scared to say anything.
It's not our fault if he chooses to remain silent, Major. It could have been any one of several men.
We all know who it was.
No, we do not know. If you have evidence, then we'll be glad to hear it. Now, on the question of this Council of Honor, Falk, you will be the Council's president.
I know nothing about court procedure.
Captain Lehman does. He'll brief us.
My experience is limited to giving evidence on medical matters for the police.
Nevertheless, you know more about it than any of us.
I wondered why you were asking me all those questions last week.
I've written out four copies of the charges against Bernd. One for me, one for you, Paul, as council president.
Thanks.
Captain Lehman, you will be prosecuting.
Thank you.
And a copy for you, Shulka. You will be defending.
And where shall we hold this charade?
We'll use the stage in the main hall and organize a proper lookout system. If the British walk in, we're merely rehearsing a reenactment of a famous German trial for the concert. I shall want a large German flag to go on the wall behind the president's chair.
And what will you be doing?
I shall be an expert witness for the prosecution.
Lieutenant Stein, you said that the RAF do not possess an airborne depth charge, that their coastal command aircraft are fitted with one anti-submarine bomb, which, and I quote from your evidence, is useless unless it scores a direct hit.
Yes. If Romlo had died, there would have been little danger.
Did you see this bomb fall?
No.
Really? Why not?
I ducked. It's customary when a bomb falls. It helps you live longer.
Did Romlo duck?
No.
So you don't know if the Hudson dropped a small bomb or a more lethal depth charge?
I've already told you. The RAF do not have an airborne depth charge.
Well, I shall be producing a witness who will testify that they do. A new arrival. His U-boat was depth-charged by a Sunderland. So, you ducked while Ramlow bravely watched the Hudson all the time?
He did not watch it out of bravery. He was hypnotized with fear.
How did he surrender?
He waved his shirt.
Did he have a jacket on?
Yes.
Which he had to remove first before he could take his shirt off?
Yes.
Now, did he wave the shirt after the Hudson released the depth charge?
Yes.
Immediately after? Before the Hudson had time to turn?
Yes.
Oh, he was quick.
He tore his jacket and shirt off in panic.
But just now, you said he was hypnotized with fear. Did you help him off with his jacket? Well?
You must answer the question.
Yes. But he asked me to. But I didn't know why he wanted it off at the time.
Did you also help him remove his shirt?
Yes, but I didn't know why he wanted it off.
No, of course not.
It was late summer, and I suppose the Hudson was making it rather hot for you.
Major Shulker is including a great deal of unnecessary comment, Mr. President.
No more than we've had from Captain Lehman.
That is not true.
I have no more questions.
Thank you. Do you wish to re-examine, Captain Lehman?
Sir, when you went below after the surrender, Lieutenant Stein, you said you posted a signalman on the sky periscope to watch the Hudson.
Yes.
Can you remember the exact wording of the Hudson signals?
Yes. The first one said, "Have you surrendered?" And the second one was, "Remain on surface or we will bomb you."
It definitely said bomb, not depth charge.
Yes. It was bluffing, of course. It only carried the one bomb.
There is no doubt about the action I would have taken. As soon as the aircraft appeared, I would have given the order to dive and continued diving despite the air attack. My chance of escaping would be very good if there were no anti-submarine ships less than 12 hours steaming away. If the bomb had damaged me, I would have surfaced and fought it out with the aircraft. My anti-aircraft gun crews were well trained, and there would be a good chance of destroying the Hudson.
Were you ever attacked by aircraft when you were in command of a U-boat?
Mr. President, I fail to see what Lieutenant Commander Kruger's experiences have got to do with this case.
I merely wish to establish that his experience qualifies him to speak with authority on the correct course of action U-570 should have taken when it was attacked. Would the first officer of a U-boat be justified in assuming command if his commanding officer had surrendered when still capable of fighting and possibly escaping?
Yes.
Excuse my ignorance of court procedure, but is the prosecution allowed to put leading questions to his own witness?
That is true.
Major Shulker is quite correct, unless the questions deal with a complex matter. I'm sure he would be the first to agree that this is indeed a complex matter.
Continue, Captain Lehman.
And if the commander is faced with overwhelming odds,
then he must scuttle his boat.
Thank you, Lieutenant Commander.
Major Shulker.
Commander Kruger, before you would scuttle your boat, you would give the order to abandon ship.
Of course.
Now, supposing you were under the guns of an armed trawler and a destroyer which had ordered you to allow no one from below, would you still scuttle your boat?
I would never allow myself to get into such a situation in the first place.
You've never been unfortunate enough to find yourself in such a situation.
It's not a question of being unfortunate. It's a question of skill and courage.
But you've never been in such a situation.
No, when I was...
Mr. President, Lieutenant Commander Kruger has been allowed to give evidence for the prosecution because of his experience in U-boat matters. We now learn, on his own admission, that he has no experience of the circumstances under examination. Therefore, it is my submission that his evidence is invalid.
Are you familiar with Lieutenant Commander Kruger's record? 260,000 tons of enemy shipping sunk. He holds numerous decorations, including the Knight's Cross with oak leaves. I suggest you apologize.
Why should I apologize for making what I consider to be a valid point?
In that case, the Council will apologize on your behalf. You should remember, Major Shulker, that none of us has experience of surrendering to the enemy without a fight. Only Bernard Barrett can speak with authority on that subject.
Why didn't you relieve Ramlo of command?
It would be mutiny.
You went to training college?
Yes.
Weren't you taught the difference between mutiny and the justified relieving of command?
Yes.
Tell the council those differences.
I don't remember the exact wording. Mutiny is the refusal by an individual or group to obey the lawful commands of their senior officers. Justified
relieving of command is when the senior officer has demonstrated, either by his action or inaction, that he is no longer mentally or physically capable of issuing lawful orders. Is that right?
Yes.
Immediately after the attack by the Hudson, you joined Ramlo on the bridge. You said in your statement, and I quote, "Ramlo appeared to be in a state of shock. He said, 'They'll kill us, they'll kill us.' Is that correct?"
Yes.
Your own words, a state of shock. Why didn't you take command there and then?
I don't know.
Didn't Lieutenant Stein suggest you take command?
Well, yes, but I didn't trust him.
Didn't he promise you his full support and that of the crew if you did?
Yes.
Didn't he assure you of his complete loyalty to you?
Yes.
And still you refused to act. Why didn't you do so after Ramlo abandoned the U-boat? Surely you realized there was no question of mutiny then.
Well, I thought the commanding officer of the British destroyer was technically in command of the U-boat, as we had already surrendered.
You worried about legal niceties when there was a danger of your boat falling into enemy hands?
Yes.
Why didn't you tell the crew to abandon ship so you could follow battle orders?
Well, I was concerned for their safety. And the destroyer had threatened to open fire if anybody appeared from below.
Did it occur to you that the British wanted to stop you scuttling?
Well, I thought perhaps they were worried in case we tried to use the gun. In the heat of the moment, I felt that the lives of the crew were more important than the capture of the boat.
Surely you realized that the secrets revealed to the enemy through the capture of your boat could well lead to the deaths of countless sailors in the future?
I didn't think...
You didn't think? You didn't think that the presenting the enemy with a complete U-boat, with its equipment and weapons intact, could endanger the entire U-boat offensive? You valued your life and the lives of your crew above the lives of crews yet to sail?
Yes.
Speak up!
Yes.
Tommy, it's quiet, everyone. Yes, that's fine, Willie. But I want you to put more pressure on. Remember, this is the bit where you've reached the main part of your cross-examination. It must be much harder. Surely you realize, do you admit? Bernard, you're just right. You're looking frightened because you know you're guilty. We'll just do that bit again. Take it from... All right, Willie, carry on.
Lieutenant Bernd, do you understand what your last reply means?
Yes.
Would you like to reconsider your answer?
I don't care what happens to me. I just want all this finished.
Do you admit to being a coward?
Yes, yes. It's always been the same. At school, I was frightened of the wall bars. I can't help myself. Everybody said it didn't matter if you were scared. It would all disappear, they said. You'd be too busy to be scared, and I believed them. I believed my father. Fight for the fatherland, he said, and... I had nothing to go on. I had no means of judging myself. I was scared the first time I was on a boat when it dived, and I've been scared ever since. I didn't want to die. Now I don't want to live.
My own definition of a coward is someone who has the courage to show he's not a hero.
Lieutenant Bernard Berendt, you will please stand. You have been found guilty of failing to scuttle your U-boat to prevent its falling into enemy hands, and guilty of displaying cowardice in the face of the enemy. Lieutenant Stein, who through no fault of his own will have to live with the stigma of being associated with the most cowardly act in the history of the German Navy, has expressed a desire to read out the recommended sentence of this council. Lieutenant Stein.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bernard Belt, the recommended sentence of the council is that you be executed.
Supposing he wants to appeal?
That's a matter for the Naval High Command. Our instructions were to hear the evidence and recommend sentence.
Do you think we went too far?
No.
You think our sentence will be upheld?
I don't see why not. Look, is something worrying you?
I can't help thinking that what we did was wrong. I mean, to sit in judgment on a man is bad enough, but to destroy him as well in front of him...
Listen, I'm a submariner. Just one of thousands. It's a filthy, dirty job. You're stuck in a tiny, almost defenseless craft for days, weeks, months at a time. You learn to live with the permanent smell of urine and vomit. You sleep in soaking wet clothes, not just when the weather's bad, but all the time, because everything you touch is dripping with condensation. When you're on the surface, you can't allow more than a few men at a time into the fresh air, because you've less than 3 minutes to dive if an aircraft is spotted. I had nearly 50 submariners under me, and not one of them ever complained. They're the men, and the hundreds of youngsters training in the Baltic, whose lives have been threatened by one cowardly officer who cared so much for his own skin he preferred to hand the British an intact U-boat. Baird may have forgotten them, but I never shall.
We know how you feel, Otto, but what will the British learn from U-570? Its exact length, how quickly it can dive, how long it can remain submerged. Will it tell them anything they don't know already?
The Type 7C is the most advanced U-boat in the world. It can dive to over 200 meters.
Yes, that's what you told the Council, but is it?
Yes, of course.
I've learned one or two surprising things about British submarines from some of your fellow U-boat officers here. What is the maximum surface speed of the 7C?
18 knots, but I don't see...
In the last war, the British K-class submarines could do 24 knots.
Well, they were steam-driven freaks.
But nearly all the evidence you gave the Council was based on the superiority of the German U-boat.
Do you think I would list its faults in front of the Army and the Luftwaffe? In any case, Schulke could have found out what you found out.
He made the mistake of attacking you. Bernd's defense was a shambles.
Maybe it was, but that makes no difference to what Bernd did.
It might make a difference when the High Command review the evidence. They might decide that Bernd's case was mishandled. I think we should reconsider the sentence.
Are you siding with Bernd?
Of course not. I don't want to see him get away with what he did. I'm just saying we should reconsider...
Yes?
May I?
Well, come in, Lehman.
Do you believe in Providence?
Not since I've been here. Why?
The guard, Parsons, has been boasting again. On his last 24-hour leave, he took his girlfriend to Barrow for the day. They went on a boat trip to view the captured German submarine.
U-570?
The same. She's just been brought back from Iceland by Lieutenant George Colvin. She's been renamed Graf. Now, I've managed to scrounge a map. She's lying at the submarine works in this narrow channel here. She's to be refitted.
How far is Barrow from here?
Less than 30 kilometers. Mm. Now do you see why I asked if you believed in Providence?
Gentlemen, I think it's time we reconvene the escape committee. The plan is for someone to break out and sabotage U-570 at her moorings. The exact details have yet to be worked out, but are we all agreed in principle that it should be done?
Yes.
Indeed. Good. I've considered the various methods which could be used to destroy a submarine. The easiest would be to open the main vents and sea valves.
How much damage would a hand grenade do if it exploded inside a U-boat?
One hand grenade wouldn't do much structural harm.
How about four exploding simultaneously?
If the watertight doors were shut, they could possibly blow it in half.
Good.
You have an idea?
Oh, yes. And I have some hand grenades. Hmm? Five of them. Unfortunately, I don't have an alarm clock.
Lehman, what are you talking about?
Hand grenades. These things. They're British, of course. No throwing handle, which means they'd make a smaller packet, but just as big a bang.
Where on earth did you get these?
From the armory. A prisoner the British trust has been stealing from it regularly. Another prisoner they don't trust then returns whatever has been taken in exchange for tobacco. They keep replacing the locks, but he's sawn through the hinge pins. All he has to do is lift the door and it drops off. Doesn't matter how many locks they
think. How long has he been doing this?
Some weeks now. He's kept quiet about it because he thought he was onto a good thing. I didn't know about it until he came to me with these. He feels he's bitten off a little too much. He wasn't sure whether to return them or use them as a lever.
Well, you're responsible for men in your section. It's up to you to know what they're doing.
You must admit it does have its funny side.
All we need is an alarm clock.
Why?
As you can see, they're nothing like our stick grenades. They don't have a friction igniter. This lever is spring-loaded and it's held against the grenade body by this pin. Mm-hmm. Now, to use the grenade, the pin is pulled out and the lever is held in place by the hand. Once the grenade is thrown, the lever flies up and starts an 8-second fuse. So, we take four of the grenades, remove the pins and pack them into a small box crammed with plenty of clay to hold the levers in place. Mm-hmm. Now, the fifth grenade is also packed into the box, but with its pin in place, which is attached by a piece of string to the alarm key on the back of the clock. When the alarm goes off, the key turns, winds the string around its spindle, and pulls the pin out of the fifth grenade. Mm. It explodes, shatters the clay around the other grenades, which all explode together 8 seconds later.
Well, it seems we have a bomb. All we need is a volunteer to plant it and a method of getting him out.
There is one person who ought to be given the chance to volunteer first.
You've got to do it. Kruger hasn't made any promises, but I'm certain he'll allow an appeal if you agree.
I couldn't do it, Conrad. I'd do something wrong, I know I would.
Are you scared?
No. Yes. I'd be terrified.
Do you want to be hanged for cowardice?
No, but supposing something went wrong? Supposing I was caught? The British would shoot me anyway.
Listen, I'm reaching the point where I don't care what happens to you. I've done my best for you, and I'm damned if I'll do any more. I never did think of you as a coward, but I will if you refuse to do this.
I'm sorry, comrade. I've caused you a lot of trouble.
It's nothing to the trouble I'll cause you if you don't agree to this. Well?
Yes. I'll do it.
Looks as though Shulker is having trouble with Bent.
Would you consider an appeal if he agrees?
We'll have to see if he agrees first. The immediate problem is how we're going to get whoever does it out of here.
Hoffman's made some excellent wire cutters out of two leaf springs.
Something seems to be interesting, Layman.
Where?
Over there, by that watchtower. Layman! If we do reopen the official escape program, I'm taking Layman's name off the list. He's much too useful to us in here. That bomb is a brilliant piece of improvisation.
I think I have it.
Have what?
The answer to the escape problem. I'll show you. Let's stroll casually over to the West Tower. Of course, it will only work on a fine afternoon like this.
Of course.
Now, watch the guards in the East Tower as we near the West Tower. No, no, don't do it too obviously. Watch them out of the corner of your eye.
One of them is shading his eyes with his hand. Now the other one's doing the same.
Now, if we stand in the shadow of this tower, like this, you see?
I believe you've got something.
The men in the tower above can't see us because we're virtually underneath them. And the guards over there can't see us because they're looking straight into the sun. They know we are here, but only because they saw us walk over.
Yes, but you're not suggesting a daylight break, surely? The escaper will be seen long before he reached the trees.
Of course not. What's always been against cutting the wire at night? That 30-second interval between each searchlight sweep is too short to cut the wire and make for the trees. But if the wire is already cut...
Yes, of course. 30 seconds should be plenty of time.
How long will it be before all the papers are ready?
Another 2 weeks.
Well, then, if we have choir practice out here every fine afternoon to get the British used to the idea, we'd be able to cut the wire on the first sunny afternoon when everything is ready, and the escaper could make his break that night.
Yeah.
The British are not likely to notice a few cut strands of barbed wire right under the watchtower, especially as there'll only be a few hours of daylight between cutting the wire and the breakout.
It's a 30-kilometer walk to Barrow, which you should do easily in 6 hours. The first few kilometers across country will be the worst, but if you stick to the compass route, you'll reach the road after 1 hour. Your papers are nearly ready. You're a Dutch seaman returning to Barrow after some shore leave. You'll have a paybook, identity card, travel warrants, used Liverpool bus tickets, and some letters from an English girlfriend. And this is the bomb. We'll be sealing it in a piece of inner tube, but before we do, I want you to go over the priming procedure.
Once aboard the U-boat, I cut open the wrapper and remove the box. I open the lid and wind up the mainspring. This key here.
That's it. The one without the string attached. Mm-hmm. 5 turns should be sufficient. The alarm key, which will pull the pin out of the hand grenade, is already wound, but it won't operate until the main spring is wound.
Yes.
The clock hands are set at 3 minutes to 4, and it will go off at 4 o'clock. We've removed the bell. If you jump into the water immediately you've placed the bomb in position, you should be all right.
I make sure the clock is ticking, and then I replace the lid and position the box in the forward battery compartment against the pressure hull.
Excellent.
Supposing someone's aboard the boat.
Then you place the box under a grating on the outside. It won't do so much damage, so try and place it below if possible. You'd better have this just in case of trouble. It looks quite realistic at a glance. Don't pull the trigger. It's liable to break off.
Right.
Unfortunately, we know nothing about the security and layout of the submarine works. All we've got is this rough sketch map. The boat is moored in this narrow channel here. We suggest you enter the water at this quay here alongside the road. That means you'll have a 400-meter swim. Think you can manage that?
Yes.
We're making your kit bag fairly buoyant, so you'll be able to rest now and then. These are the wire cutters. You'll be cutting the wire in daylight, so...
In daylight?
Don't worry. We've worked everything out. Try a practice cut on this piece of wire.
Right.
Good. Any questions?
Will there be a moon on the night?
We're not even certain what night it will be. We hope it will be early next week, in which case there won't. You'll be cutting the wire on the first sunny afternoon and breaking out the same evening.
Okay, Bent. Now.
Oh,
It must be Parsons with that searchlight. It always sweeps slower than anyone else.
Yeah, rub this boot polish on your face, Bernard. It smells a bit, but you can wipe it off once you're through the wire.
Thank you. Last foot patrol just finishing their circuit round the wire.
Remember, when you reach the ground, hold on to the sheets until you feel two hard pulls.
Yes.
You then run behind the searchlight beam, keeping it a few meters in front of you. Don't get too close in case it stops.
I understand.
Got everything?
Yes.
All right, onto the windowsill. Hold it. Right. Down you go. Oh, we might as well turn in now. He's had 2 hours, so he should be well clear of the camp by now.
I forgot to wish him good luck.
Yes, we all forgot.
You know, something I wanted to ask, but Bernard stopped me. What happens to him after he blows up the U-boat?
He's got £25 and a merchant seaman's paybook. If he can get to Liverpool, he should be able to make it to Ireland.
But he'll be missed at morning roll call. Do you really think he stands a chance?
No, but he does stand a chance of blowing up the U-boat. And that's all that matters.
What the hell's going on?
Major Leach is pulling one of his snap searches tonight. All night.
What are they doing? A bed count?
The works. The guards are turning out every dormitory.
We'll have to get someone into Ben's room to double up.
Not a chance. They're sealing all the corridors.
What the?
Well, it was the best I could do. I ordered the men to fight among themselves if there should be a check. It may delay them a bit.
Oh, well, there's nothing we can do. We'd better go to bed.
That's all we need. Roll call in this weather, too.
I'm not taking orders from him, are you? Help me tie the shirt to the periscope.
I would never allow myself to get into such a position in the first place.
Why didn't you relieve Ramlow of command?
He's twisting the facts to save his own miserable skin.
You value the lives of your crew above the lives of crews yet to sail?
Yes. No.
Do you admit to being a coward?
No.
The recommended sentence of the council is that you be executed.
Stop a minute.
Well, what's the matter, lad?
Hey, Luke, down there in that field, old Jim Sheep. Whenever there's bad weather, they always crowd round that old shepherd shelter. Well, look at them. It's as if they're keeping clear of it. Oh, someone's frightened them, I reckon.
Thunder scared them, stupid creatures, Sheep.
Oh, no, they aren't. There's only people that think them stupid.
Better take a look, then.
Okay.
Gets in soap just to look at Sheep. You best bring that rifle.
Hey. Supposing it's the Nazi in there.
He wouldn't come this way. He'd head out to Windermere to get the train. Best be on a night like this. It's a tramp, more like.
Well, what do we do?
I'll go around the back and you go in through the door. I'll catch him if he tries to escape.
Oh, but Captain...
Cover him with the rifle.
Well, you know about their eyes. My uncle says they can hypnotize you.
All right, we know you're in there. Come on out with your hands up.
Maybe you don't understand English.
Well, fire a shot in the air, he'll understand that.
It'll frighten the sheep.
I'll frighten you in a minute. Do as I say.
Ah.
is there, Captain? Shall I go and get out?
Come out with your hands above your head. Don't try anything.
Please, don't shoot.
Come on, out you come. Well, well, well. What have we here?
He didn't look like a Nazi.
That's near enough. Turn round. Shoot him if he tries anything, Corporal.
I'm not armed.
Oh, just making sure. Now, who are you?
I'm a Dutch seaman. I was on my way to Barrow when the storm started, so I hid in the hut.
Hid?
I hid from the storm. My English is not good.
Have you got any papers?
Yes. Here, my pay book and my identity card. There.
Okay. They look all right. Hey, we can't be too careful. You better put them away before they get soaked.
Thank you.
I thought you merchant seamen always carried a kit bag.
It's in the hut. I did not want to get it wet.
It's a filthy night to be out. Would you like a lift?
No. No, thank you. You're very kind, but I must get to Barrow.
Got a ship waiting for you?
Yes.
You won't make it tonight. Last bus is gone. Why don't you come with us? We've got to report to Grisdale Hall. You could telephone from there. They'd probably pick you up for the night.
No. No, thank you. I'll be all right here. I'm used to being out in rough weather.
Don't be silly. You come along with us. Nobody's going to say we didn't look after a seaman. Besides, hear those dogs? They're out looking for an escaped prisoner. It could be dangerous.
I'll be all right.
Well, our truck's just over here. Hey, come back! It must be that Jerry after all. Oh, oh, we shoot! Put one over his head, Corporal.
He's not stopping, Captain.
One in the legs. Wing him.
He's dead.
It could be someone poaching.
No, it was a rifle, not a shotgun. That means home guard.
Well, you know what they are.
No. No, I don't know what they are. Why don't you tell me, Perhaps they're like Lehman here. Now, he's a medical man. Did you take the oath, Lehman? Did it allow you to sit back and say nothing while a man was being destroyed? And Stein, with all his fine talk of courage and duty, how much courage did he need to burst in on a lonely man and to beat him senseless? And you, they all listen to you because you hold the Knight's Cross and oak leaves. When it comes to defining courage or the authority, you and your comrades in the U-boat service, brave men, all of them, not a bit like Bernt. After all, it wasn't Bernt who crept up on the Ophelia and all those children.
All right, Shulker, you've said enough. We know how you feel about Bernt, but we don't know if he's come to any harm, and there's nothing any of us can do now. We'll know what's happened in the morning.
Where is Otto? He'll be too late for breakfast. It's most inconsiderate of him to disappear like this when the whole camp's buzzing with rumours.
All I know is that the Commandant sent for him at 7 this morning.
Any news of Bernt?
Oh, he's no good asking me. I know as much as you. Someone even asked me if it was true that Bernd had blown up the Queen Mary.
I don't think he's come to any harm. Bernd's not the type to resist.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Good morning.
Ah, it's about time.
As you must all know by now, one of our comrades escaped last night. What you may not know is that he escaped so that he could destroy our submarine, U-570, which has fallen into enemy hands. I have a statement issued to me this morning by Major Veitch. It is with deep regret that I have to inform you that your comrade and fellow officer, Lieutenant Bernard Bernt, was killed last night whilst evading arrest. Lieutenant Bernt broke away after being detained by a Home Guard unit. He was ordered to halt several times, but took no notice. A shot was fired over his head, but he kept running. The Home Guard were forced to shoot with the intention of wounding him. Unfortunately, the shot went high and hit Bernt between the shoulders. He died before the doctor arrived. The commandant said the escape was a gallant attempt by a brave officer. He deeply regrets that it should end so tragically, and he has agreed that Bernt should have a funeral with full military honors. He has also agreed that we may provide a guard of honor and pallbearers. The funeral will take place at the village of Hawkshead. Those of you who wish to attend will be placed on parole and issued with British Navy greatcoats. It is most important that the villagers do not suspect that the funeral is that of a German naval officer. For that reason, the coffin will be covered with the British flag, but under that will be the German Navy battle ensign.
O God, through whose mercy the souls of the faithful find rest, bless your servant, Bernard Bent, and place this grave under the care of thy holy angel, and loose from the bonds of sin the soul.
What are you going to say?
I don't know.
That united with thy
surely faith, you've prepared something. Look, Beach is pulling the Union Jack off the copy.
Shh. Amen.
Amen.
Waiting for you to say something.
I can't.
But you said you would.
I know. I wanted to, but I can't. What I will do is reconvene the Council of Honor.
God of Honor! Present! Fire!
Lieutenant Stein,
after reconsidering all the evidence, the verdict of this council is that Lieutenant Bernd is not guilty of the charges laid against him. He has given his life honorably in the service of Germany and the German people. The council will recommend that his courage be recognized by an appropriate citation.
Fellow officers, this is the second sitting of the Council of Honor. In service of the memory of our departed comrade, I ask you all to forget the first sitting. That story must never be told. The matter of U-570's surrender is now closed.
New arrival to see you, Otto.
Otto! How marvelous that we two U-boat aces should be reunited.
What do you mean?
Surely you remember me at Lorient. Hans Ramlo, commanding officer of U-570.
Paul.
Hmm?
The flag we made for the Council of Honor. Have we still got it?
Yes, Otto.
Good. Very good indeed.
In The U-Boat That Lost Its Nerve by James Follett, Bernard Bernd was played by Nigel Lambert and Otto Kruger by Paul Gaiman. Hans Ramlo, David Ryle, Lieutenant Stein, Michael Deacon, and the Chief Engineer, Michael Shannon. Conrad Schulker, Stephen Thorne, Paul Falk, Alan Dudley, Willie Lehman, Trader Faulkner, the Home Guard Captain, Jack Carr, and the Corporal, Sean Probert. The harmonica was played by Harry Pitch, and the play was produced in stereo by Margaret Ettall.
Well, you'll have gathered that that play was based on the true story of the surrender of the U-boat, which became HMS Grant.